This is Maurice Tanny from 77 El Diora, and you're listening to Radio Valencia.
Another night, another Monday night right here in San Francisco. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. John Hill right here in the one and the only Radio Valencia. And a magnificent evening it is for sure. Thank you so much for being here. Big thanks to Black on Black on Black. They will be back next week, 6 p.m. right here in San Francisco on Radio Valencia. And they will be live in the studio. Hey, thank you all so much for contributing to our fundraiser. It was 2 weeks and we took care of business. You know, it's the very first time we've ever had a fundraiser here in all of our years. We usually do a live one, like take over a club and have the bands come in, have people come out and party. And this time around, we decided, oh gosh, we might want to go on the radio and ask for you to help us out. And you did. And we love you for it. Thank you so much. We're going to be able to put that into caring for the equipment here. And we got hopefully a new website coming soon, all because of the work that you put in for us. So thank you for that. And your generosity is certainly evident, and your love for Radio Valencia is appreciated. Thank you. Go until 10 o'clock tonight, and DJ Doug and Little Hiss Muffet will be in then. Tonight in the studio, coming up soon, I'm really excited to have members of the Palestinian Solidarity Committee through San Francisco Unified, teachers across the school district coming together to talk about a very important issue that's happening in our world and the work that they can do to bring attention to this and to help out where it's needed. So that's happening in the first hour tonight. You can go to radiovalencia.fm. We have our chatterbox right there, radiovalencia.fm. And, you know, if you're tuning in and you have any questions that you want to ask them, that's a fair place to go, radiovalencia.fm. Going again until 10 o'clock tonight, and I'm also still celebrating. My gosh, it's still true. We're still doing a great and amazing month of Black history, especially with music. We'll get to it. Radio Valencia.
So, I know George played a tape of a scientist that was checking out tectonic plates up in Siberia, and it was called The Sounds of Hell, I believe. I'd love for you to play that again because, you know, I've heard about it. I've never heard it, okay? My pastor told me about it, but you know what? I'll tell you right now. What's in the earth and the sounds of hell, you hear the people in torment.
Well, you listen in. You listen in on the radio here because you're going to hear it right now.
We'll be right back.
Damn, that's good stuff. That's GOAT along with MC Yala. It's a brand new track there called Nimrudi, right here on Radio Valencia. What a delight, man. That was great. Just before that, starting off the show, some sounds there from Brown Out off of their Fear of a Brown Planet. We heard Bring the Noise. My name is John Hell. This right here is Radio Valencia, right deep in the heart of San Francisco. I'm really excited to have my guests on tonight. This is going to be a really good conversation. They're members of the San Francisco Unified's Palestinian Solidarity Committee. These are educators in San Francisco. They are just merely a sample of a really remarkable group of educators that are keeping at the center a very important issue that needs to continue to be spoken about. And I'd like to introduce in no particular order. We'll start. We have Iano, who has been an educator in public schools for 5 years, but also has a background in teaching singing as well, and has a really quite a remarkable singing voice. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you so much. And also with us, we have Manadal, 8 years teaching. You also have a history of being a union organizer.
Yes.
As well. I'm interested in hearing all about that. I really appreciate you being here. And then our third member of the panel tonight, we have 11-year teaching professional. Youssef is in the studio. Right on. Good evening. Right on. I'm happy that you guys have made it tonight. So I want to talk about the work that you've been doing. How long is this committee, the Palestinian Solidarity Committee, how long has it been happening in San Francisco Unified, as far as you're aware?
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for having us, John. The Palestine Solidarity Committee is a grassroots educators committee that was formed across a number of school sites in SFUSD. It's not formally connected to SFUSD. It's a grassroots organization. And it was formed initially to defend the right of students to mobilize and to speak out against the war. So when students were walking out, in solidarity with Palestine in late October and November of 2023, educators began to notice how administrators at a number of schools began to attempt to block in various ways the right of students to mobilize against the war, and that's what got us mobilized to defend their right to speak out.
Yeah, and can you tell us, like, any, and please feel free to give any concrete examples. I think that's actually important, because if we're talking about public schools, we're also talking about that's protected by the Constitution, and, you know, a lot of administrators get, there's a little fear in there about, well, what are we really allowed to do? And so if you could, you know, anything that you want to share about students that wanted to attempt to do, you know, speak out maybe during lunch period or whatnot, and what any administrator responds to that.
Absolutely. I think, as many people are aware, we're living in a culture of fear and repression towards this particular movement, and so we know that school authorities here and across the country place a lot of pressure on school principals and leaders to crack down on pro-Palestine activism. In our case, what we noticed was that since some schools began to receive hate calls from Zionists in San Francisco, principals, instead of defending students and defending their right to mobilize, did things such as have one-on-one meetings with these young, you know, activists, minors, put them in a room with principals and other adults that tell them to stop, and blaming them for the negative attention and press that these schools were getting.
Did you know, I mean, did these students have adult support while they were going in there?
In those meetings, there was no adult support. So when we found out about that, we consider that to be just incredibly inappropriate and unjust.
And were there any threats of suspension, expulsion?
Not that we know of, but the specific things that principals attempted to put in place were, for example, not allowing students to use any kind of sound magnifiers, right? Not allowing them to say things like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Not allowing them to march through the hallway. So essentially blocking their ability to mobilize in the schools in any meaningful way.
Right. So, I mean, it's understood that, you know, California Ed Code guarantees, this is section 48907. Oh, if I could find, shoot, it just disappeared on me, dagnabbit. But it guarantees the students a right to exercise their freedom of speech. Was this, from what any of you are familiar with, was this brought up to administrators in the district, either at the school site or at the district level, to say they have a, not only a federal right, they have a state right to be able to do this? Any, Manal, or
I think it's really obvious, and it's like common sense to, for the fact that students must have the right to express their opinion. For, and also all teachers, we were students before, we were able to express our opinion when we were like anti-war or any other social issues. We were taught by our own teachers and by our communities that we need to speak up. Right. And it is our duty and our job is to be for the students to feel safe. Yes. And be protected. And the First Amendment is very clear, and also in the Ed Code, or it's not in the Ed Code, we want to be, I also tell my students, I want to be the adult I wish I had when I was their age. Right. So this is really important for us to guide them through. And for me, coming from, I mean, I'm part of the Palestinian community, I'm part of the education community, therefore I have a dual responsibility for the fact that I want my community to speak up and not to feel shy away or being bullied because they have a political positions, or they have relatives that have been suffering. during the war. This year has been very significant for us in terms of like the amount of pain that we had to go through. I myself have lost 34 members of my family in Gaza, and that by itself makes me or drive me to really speak up as much as I can. And also for the Palestinian issue to be as popular as it was this year,
yes.
And that unfortunately they paid the highest price in the blood in their yeah. kids, and their thousands of people died for that.
Yeah.
Also, I think that people in the Middle East, people in the Arab world, or in the, you know, the global South, so to speak, they don't know the American society. They don't know that there is sectors like teachers. They really care
yeah.
for them, and that's something that we feel responsible to do. That we have artists for Palestine, we have musicians for Palestine, writers for Palestine, doctors for Palestine. Why shouldn't we have teachers for Palestine? Teachers to teachers, because in the other world, in the global South, what they do about America, they know the White House, the State Department, or the Pentagon.
Right.
They don't know that there is really people who care for you, who are willing to march in the streets and say enough is enough, enough killing for that, enough genocide for this. And this is really noble, and then we feel that we acknowledge that the issue of Palestine is becoming a global issue. Is not an international issue. It's a humane issue that we need to start being with them, just like we express our solidarity with the people of South Africa, people of Central America, people all over the world. The Palestinian issue has been silenced, censored, particularly by the mainstream media, particularly by all these forces that Jose mentioned earlier about, you know, trying to fabricate public opinion and fabricate the history. I think what happened in the last year, it's like by itself, by its own, it's like reading 100 books by itself just to watch what's going on in every single day, every single moment, every single night, with all these new methods and new internet, social media, and all this.
I'm curious, Manado, at your own site, what kind of support or pushback are you getting from administration?
Well, I think in I would like to say most of the sites, but on my site, I think we have a lot of support. People, yeah. We have students who are like from different part of the Arab world, from different part of the Muslim world, who clearly express solidarity and support, and they speak freely in their classes. And they have their flags in their classrooms and their hallways, and that's something they should be proud of, mm-hmm. and we should encourage them to do so.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I know at your site, what is some of the work like? Can you describe how often does the committee meet? What's the objective when the committee gets together?
Yeah. Absolutely. So thank you to both of you for all that's been shared. It's definitely really speaking to my heart as well and expressing what I'm feeling. So at my site, I've been really honored to be organizing pretty regularly with my group of colleagues. We meet every week, and I think that we've really been able to build solidarity in community, which is one of the most powerful things, because our society is so focused on individualism, but I think that solidarity really is about collective care, and it's not about one person holding everything, but about everyone bringing their ideas and their heart to the table. So I'll let Youssef also share about some of the things that we've worked on together, organizing that we've done. One that I'd like to highlight right now, just to build on what you were saying about teachers supporting teachers, is that we have been holding mutual aid events in solidarity with teachers in Gaza and actually building friendships with them and inviting them to collaborate with us for these events. So that's something that personally has held a lot of meaning to me. I'll share a little bit if that's okay.
Please, yeah, I would like to know more about that.
Thank you. Just about how I got connected to mutual aid work and then some of the really beautiful things I've seen our committee do around that. So last spring, I was honored to start building friendships with some people in Gaza. I was inspired by a mentor as well as others in my community who were doing that mutual aid work, not charity, but solidarity in collaboration with Palestinians. And at one point this year, I realized that several of my friends are actually educators, just like me, some of them in the same subject area. And I decided to create a Linktree resource. It's a breathing resource highlighting campaigns and advocacy of Gazan teachers. And I was so honored that when I shared this with the Palestine Solidarity Committee folks at my site, people were really interested in coming together as teachers to stand with them and directly support them. So we have a lot of talent at our site, as I know at other sites as well. And we've had performances, we've had visual art, we've had people donating to our colleagues in Gaza. And maybe Youssef, if you would like to share about some of the other work we've done as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for sharing that. I think that what's been so valuable about our work and that we want activists and pro-Palestinian people all around the world to know is that our work in many ways demonstrates the power of workers organizing at their workplace, because ultimately here in the United States or around the world, it is us workers who really make the world go round. And in the U.S., whether it's workers in the war industries, in public transportation, in education, in healthcare, we have the power to make the war machine stop and to end U.S. aid to Israel. And in our case, the first thing that we actually did, going back to the original creation of the Solidarity Committee, was that we used our administrators' repression towards student mobilization to build a campaign amongst educators in solidarity with students. We wrote a letter. We cited Board of Education policy defending free speech. We got it signed by dozens of educators at our school. We presented it to our administrators, who were forced to rhetorically at least go back on some of the initial repressive mechanisms that they wanted to put in place to block student activism from happening again, which was putting them in a weird position.
I understand there was actually an action where teachers had a note on the door saying, we're not here today, mm-hmm. we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Not saying the students are coming or we're inviting mm-hmm. us in. The administrators went around and took all that off. Is that correct?
Yeah, this was about 4 or 5 months later,
okay.
right?
Okay.
And so what the Solidarity Committee did is it connected to an organization in the Bay Area, which I encourage everyone to support, called Bay Area Labor for Palestine, which connects workers from different sectors in solidarity with Palestine. And they put out a call for pro-Palestinian workers to mobilize in the Bay Area on May 1st. So a number of us at our school site organized a sit-out and a mobilization. We wanted to communicate to our community why we were doing so, so that when, you know, staff members who were at school or students who were at school saw that so many educators were out, they understood why. Mm-hmm. So we wrote a note, and we put it inside our classrooms, we put it in the hallways, communicating there is a war on the people of Palestine. We refused to be complicit with it. We made it clear that we were not inviting students to this. It was educator initiated and just for educators. And what we heard as we were mobilizing in the streets on May 1st from educators who stayed on campus was that our principals walked around campus, went inside our classrooms, and tore down these posters. It's more than just a poster. It's the act of like tearing down a message that's meant to communicate something that's deeply important to us and to our students that we found to be unacceptable. And so we used that as a campaign to address the issue of protecting free speech and the right to mobilize and to speak our minds on the issue.
You know, my listeners know I'm a teacher, so I don't hide that. And I've said for a very long time, I don't envy administrators. You know, there are middle managers. Many of them did it because the pay was better, and many didn't even want to do it anyway. They couldn't survive if they didn't get it. So I have that feeling of like, come on, you guys don't want to be there as it is. But you are there, and don't forget that you were a teacher. Don't forget you were an educator in the classroom, and that, you know, the idea being that we're trying to raise these children up to know their voice, use their voice, and we need to be the role models as well. So as I'm hearing what you're talking about, it's like that reminder even to the administrators. Hey, solidarity means something here. It really does. We're going to take a break. If you're just joining us, I'm talking to members of a grassroots San Francisco Unified committee called the Palestine Solidarity Committee. And I have Ayano Youssef and Monadl in the station with me tonight. John Hill is my name. Going till 10 o'clock tonight. They'll be here till 9 with me. Let's play some music from Sahara Haldigan right here. It's a great track here called Sharaf. Radio Valencia. Great sounds there from Sahara Haldigan right here on Radio Valencia. I'm just absolutely going bonkers for her right now. Just crazy good stuff. Hidu Duar is the name of the record and the track that we heard there was Sharaf. Radio Valencia, my name is John Hell. This is Hell's Kitchen Radio for a Monday night, 8 to 10. Thank you for tuning in. I have members of the Grassroots San Francisco Unified's Palestine Solidarity Committee in the studio. I'd like to reintroduce you. I have Ayano in the studio. I've got Youssef in the studio and Monadl in the studio. I'm very excited to have you here. Thanks for being with us tonight. And I wanted to talk about, you know, there was a ceasefire recently, you know, and now people are, you know, Gazans are starting to go back north. Why is this work more critical today than ever? Ayanna, what do you think? Why is this so important that this continues?
Right. So one of my main frameworks is disability justice, and one of the principles is leadership of those most impacted. And in this case, the call that I've been hearing repeatedly from Palestinians, from people in Gaza, is that this is the moment to stand with them more than ever. It's the time to recommit or commit for the first time. Yes, there was a ceasefire that was a critical step, and I saw such a range of emotions from my friends in Gaza that I'm honored to be in touch with regularly, including many of our teachers. I also heard about people who are dear to me taking that long trip back home with huge families only to find their home in rubble. I heard of families finding their home, but in such a state of destruction that they just have such long-term rebuilding and building ahead of them. I am hearing from people who are trying to raise funds just to get heating, just to get sources of heating and gas canisters so that they can cook food. And I'm just hearing about people without homes, and these are also people who have already suffered such tremendous losses. And so I just can't emphasize enough how much I've had to learn, and I hope that everybody is able to also feel that it's a moment to step up, not to step back, in terms of the solidarity, and to really work alongside those most impacted, because the advocacy, the activism, and the love that I've seen from my friends in Gaza is really unlike anything I've witnessed before. And all I want is for them to know that they're not alone, and that we are with them, and that solidarity can take so many forms, right? It can be having a mutual aid event. It can be sending $5. It can be sharing a campaign. It can be sending kind words. But I think that every drop of that solidarity is deeply felt and deeply critical.
Yeah, I'm curious about, you know, you've had an opportunity to meet teachers in Gaza. What is life like for them? Are they able to teach? What does that look like? Obviously, they're just trying to care for their own lives, the lives of their families. And as an educator, you care so much about your students, you know, their family. So what is the, what are some experiences that you have heard that you can share about the challenges that they have teaching during this time?
Absolutely. I'll just start by saying that some of the video footage and photos that I've seen of some of my teacher friends in Gaza before October 7th, right, seriously has made me feel like this is the joy I want in my classroom. This is what I aspire to build. And then just looking at that in comparison with their lived reality, I would love to share about that. And keeping in mind, too, that I, while I have been honored to build some friendships, I'm sure there are so many stories I don't know, so I certainly can't speak to
it's a snapshot.
The range, yes, the range of experiences. But no, I definitely have heard from teachers who have just not been able to teach at all. Their schools are gone. They don't have that opportunity at all. They miss teaching. All they want is to be back in the classroom with their students that they're so dedicated to. I also have seen examples of teachers turning these circumstances, transforming them into educational spaces. I've seen stories and images of teachers actually teaching in tents, right, or doing healing arts with children. And I've seen teachers teaching online, teaching lessons that actually we can sign up for if you go to the Support Gazan Teachers link tree. So there's a wide range, I think, of people's lived experiences and so many stories I haven't heard. But the main takeaway for me is that just as the wonderful colleagues I get to work with every day bring their whole heart to work and are so dedicated to their students, the teachers I've connected with in Gaza are definitely the most dedicated of educators I've ever met. And I think just more than anything, want to be working with their students again.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier a link tree, and I have a blog, and I'll be making sure for all the listeners out there, I get it on there. So they're going to have the link if you want to throw it out there at the moment, if
Absolutely.
You know. Yeah, sure.
And thank you so much for giving us a space to share this.
Oh, yeah.
It's a breathing resource. It's one that although I drafted it, it's now something that our committee, our Palestine Solidarity Committee, is definitely collaborating on. And I'm excited to continue adding to it in collaboration with my educator colleagues. And people can find it online at linktree.com/supportGazan teachers, but please remember that there is a dot after the R before the E in Linktree. So it's linktr.ee/supportGazan teachers. And what you'll see when you go there right now, there are currently 7 fundraising campaigns that really reflect the dedication and advocacy and leadership of these teachers and their families. And you can read their stories. Many of them are on social media as well. And please consider contributing, sharing their stories any way that you're able to show up. It would mean the world. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Youssef, I'm curious about the role that labor is playing in this. And, you know, not just in our own region of the world, but nationally and even internationally. You know, what is happening with the labor unions when it comes to this issue right now?
Yeah, I think that's a part of the movement that I want to take a moment to highlight a bit. Those of us here in this talk today are members of United Educators of San Francisco, which, like many unions across the country, since the start of the war, have taken a position against the war, or at least calling for a ceasefire. What's really significant about United Educators of San Francisco is that beyond just calling for a ceasefire, which is ultimately a temporary pause to the war, it has also called for ending U.S. aid to Israel, which is really one of the fundamental demands for our movement, because Israel cannot prosecute its war against the people of Palestine without the full political, economic, and military support of the United States. The people of the United States have a history of anti-imperialist struggle. Let's remember that part of the reason that the U.S. was forced to withdraw from Vietnam was because the anti-war movement had grown so large and penetrated so deep that the U.S. was scared that the Marines in Vietnam would turn against, and in fact, in many ways, were rebelling and turning against their officers, right? And so that, alongside with the tenacious resistance of the Vietnamese, the U.S. was forced to leave, right? And so the labor movement in the United States has the power to repeat that experience. When Netanyahu visited Congress in late July and got a standing ovation from Congress, at that moment, about 7 major unions in the United States, including the National Educators Association, SEIU, AFT, amongst others, called for a military embargo to Israel, right? Now, there hasn't been deep organizing from our union leaderships amongst the ranks to make that a reality, but it does demonstrate that amongst the ranks of the labor movement and the U.S. population at large, there was an anti-war sentiment and a solidarity with the Palestinian people. The war against Palestine hasn't ended. Israel will resume its war against Gaza sooner or later. It's on their agenda to do so. And there will again be a mass movement for Palestine in the United States. And if workers in the war industries in particular, right, so Boeing went on strike a number of months ago, East Coast longshore workers went on strike, but also educators, healthcare workers. Mm-hmm. There are port workers doing actions in Europe, in the Arab world, in India. If we can combine these struggles into a powerful, you know, economic and political resistance against U.S. imperialism in Israel, we can win. We've won before, and we can do it again.
Thank you. Manadl, I'm curious about that. What do you think steps that need to be taken, like right now with UESF, to start taking more of a stance? Especially, we have a new regime here that has been very clear about supporting Israel, not to mention, look at this beautiful real estate. So, you know, even before it was hard enough,
yeah,
but it's almost sounded like there could be pressure. Now, what kind of battle is this moving forward?
I think if to look at the glass half full.
Thank you.
I think it's important to recognize that this is a historical moment for the people to stand up, for the people to rise up against this repression, against this this right wing that is not only supporting genocide, not only supporting the Zionist state of Israel, but also denying people their right for Medicare, their right for education, their right for all this. So it is important to recognize the fact that Palestine issue is not as they're trying to argue with us that, oh, this is what the pro-Zionist forces will say, oh, this is an international issue. We don't want to touch this. This is too political. As a matter of fact, this is a domestic issue. Mm-hmm. When Youssef was saying earlier that the support, the amount of money that $3.8 billion that goes for Israel and for the last year with Biden in, running, actually directing the genocide. Mm-hmm. He's responsible for that. With all this money that should go for all our programs, as social programs, as teachers, as workers,
yes,
as all unions.
Yes.
So therefore, it doesn't become an international issue. It is my issue as an American citizen paying taxes that should not go there. Yes, I want to state that. That's what I see the new level of like messaging that should be. It is my issue before it becomes a foreign issue. I like to see in the future, maybe in the future of solidarity, is becoming like maybe like a school site, be sistership with another school site in Gaza. You know, this is school site with another school site, and then really becoming a people to people relationship. Mm-hmm. And maybe in the future, when there is really the war will stop, we may organize a delegation that go there and then see the future, see the students, see the teachers, and build an ongoing relationship with that. I think that is possible.
Yes.
I think we should look at it at that. And, the new administration by itself, I mean, I really don't believe that there is something, the term ceasefire is like, you know, among two equal forces. It's like Germany with France.
Right. North and South Korea.
Yeah, South Korea.
Sure.
We're talking about a giant forces that is the U.S., the British, the Italians, the Germans, the French against the people of Gaza.
Yeah.
And that's not an equal thing. In addition to the fact that the people of Gaza were living under siege for the last 18 years, mm-hmm. no chance to live, no chance to travel for medical or for education. In spite of that, people of Gaza were able to build schools, build universities, continue to really cherish education. And I think I'm coming from a culture where education is very important, mm-hmm. because my grandfather were kicked out of Palestine in Nakba of 1948, and it's really, really, it becomes like part of the culture. Mm-hmm. If we are denied to live in our homeland, nothing better than education.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will help you become the education, and then we become educators and let the new generation leads the way.
I want to reintroduce you guys. We'll take a musical break. We're going to come back. That's awesome. Thank you. You're tuned in to Hell's Kitchen Radio Monday nights. My name is John Hell. I'm excited to have the Palestine Solidarity Committee, or a grassroots group through San Francisco Unified, educators, teachers, classroom teachers here in the studio with me tonight. INO, Youssef, and Manodal talking about the work that they've been doing. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm curious about, are there any groups actually in Israel right now that could be worked with from the inside? Is there anything like that going on? Let's think about it. I don't know. Maybe you don't know. I don't know. Let's figure it out. So how about some JBs? They'll figure it out. Then we'll get back to it. Radio Valence.
Because I have no idea.
These are
music there for the JBs on Radio Valencia. These are the JBs out on Now and Then Records. Good stuff there, produced by James Brown himself. Bootsy Collins on bass. John Hell, that's my name, Radio Valencia, Hell's Kitchen Radio. I have the Palestine Solidarity Committee in the studio, Grassroots San Francisco Unified, group of educators, INO, Youssef and Manonel, that are in the studio with me tonight talking about the ongoing struggle to bring the information necessary to other educators and the support of the supporters of educators, families of educators, and of course, you know, as educators, you know, everybody as it kind of goes out like rays of the sun. I wanted to talk about organizations that you're aware of that are maybe our listeners can connect to that you might be aware of. During the break, Manolo, you brought up IJAN, Jews in the community, and obviously even allies of that are anti-Zionist that want to be able to do some work here. What can you share with us?
Well, we're really fortunate to observe. We are really fortunate to observe a growing number of brothers and sisters in the Jewish community that is taking seriously the line of anti-Zionist Jews for the fact that these the old talking points that is no longer valid. It is outdated. Everybody knows that you cannot, you know, land without a people, for a people without a land. That is not true. It's not true. People have lived in Palestine for generations, and they've been replaced by European from Eastern Europe, and they were kicked out of their original land, and now they have the unconditional right to return. Now the people who are among the allies are really a strategic ally who are anti-Zionist Jews who refuse the idea of the Zionist state representing the Jewish people around the world. I think it is I would recommend that you hear them out. I do want to speak for them, but I think we are both speaking the same language. We are against racism, exclusionary racism, Zionism as form of racism, and together we want to build a society where people live in harmony, Muslim, Jewish, and Christians together in the same land.
So now there's, like we talked before the break, about there's now a new regime here. What are the challenges, Youssef? What are the challenges that you can see happening where you have this new regime that is taking the stance of let's send more arms to Israel and that we're going to take that land, let's give it to the United States? And before you even go, I mean, I'm thinking back about your comments earlier, like about Vietnam, but it seems like there's just those in charge today that they don't even care about the rule of law, where obviously it was questionable with Johnson and Nixon. But they weren't breaking down the institutions like are happening today, at least not in the same way. So what do you see the challenges are today?
Yeah, I think it's important that for those of us who are committed long-term to Palestinian liberation that we understand how the situation might have changed with Trump in power. I don't believe it's a fundamental shift. Okay. The U.S. remains fully committed to supporting Israel as its watchdog for its own imperial project in the Middle East. And so I think our work remains also fundamentally the same, and that's building a mass movement in the streets and the workplaces so that we can stand alongside our brothers and sisters in Palestine for their liberation and their right, as Manadal said, for unconditional return to their lands. And I think that given that we're living under a regime that is openly attacking many different sectors of the oppressed, trans youth, immigrants, the pro-Palestine movement, women's reproductive rights, a labor movement, that we also have here the huge opportunity to connect these struggles into one powerful struggle. To give an example, you know, we're all aware of Trump's deportation plans, and not only does it include undocumented immigrant workers, it also includes international students at universities who have taken a stand with Palestine. So I think that's a very clear way where we need to connect these movements. And I think that, just to finish off, yes, the Palestinian movement doesn't have the same size it had about a year ago, but here we are, it's still alive, and one way to keep it alive and to grow it is, again, to connect it with these other sectors and struggle. So let's build coalitions, democratic grassroots coalitions of these different sectors that are in struggle. Let's find common ground. I mean, in the streets, people have been chanting, from Palestine to Mexico, all border walls have got to go. Mm-hmm. There's a very deep significance to that. So let's build a real movement that can make that a reality.
Thank you so much. What's next for the committee? What's coming up?
Just want to say thank you for all of that. It's moving my heart as an anti-Zionist Jewish teacher myself. I definitely am just reminded of all of these connections and the power in that, and the power in the people coming together and naming those connections and rising up together, and also to bring in the disability community as well, and making sure that you know, they're not being left behind, because they're often always among the first to be targeted and left behind. So I really believe that we are strong together and that we'll win. And as for the committee at our site, we will keep doing what we're doing, right? We keep showing up every week. We have upcoming events where we will continue to be in solidarity with our fellow teachers in Gaza and share organizing, build with other schools, build coalitions across district schools so that we can just blossom into even more solidarity. And if anyone is interested in learning more about our mutual aid events or our work, please feel free to send an email to Melodies for Gaza. That's Melodies, F-O-R, Gaza, @gmail.com.
I'm just getting that down. Melodies for Gaza @gmail?
Yes.
Right on. Thank you so much. Thank you all so much for being here. I really appreciate you. Any final words from the panel you want to share?
Yeah, I'd like to say that at the time of we have Trump in the White House, I think it's really important to remember that we will never let the other side dictate the terms of debate for you. Mm. So don't pay attention to what he says,
yes,
okay? And start debating what he says as it's really doable, you know, talking about he's building Gaza and making it Rivera of the Middle East. That is, I don't know who is he talking about, who is talking about, but the fact is that rebuilding Gaza is part of the people's job. Yes. We will take that action. We will build from people to people. That's how we build Gaza back.
Yeah, and it was nice to see the international reaction to that, like almost overnight. Like, no. What are you doing? No. And, of course, I don't think anybody was lost in the fact that just a few short years ago, Jared Kushner was out there with real estate speculators looking at it. Yeah, we see what you're doing. It's not a real surprise here. And thank you for saying that, Manadal. I completely agree. As I'm a law and civics teacher, so for me, it's like I say very directly to my students, you can hear everything he wants to say. Look at what is actionable.
Right.
Right. Pay attention to that. Other than that, it's noise, and there's purpose in that. He wants the noise because he wants to keep you all off balance all the time. But that being said, you still got to listen to it, and you still got to, like, parse out what is the doable part, what's not, and yet if he keeps talking about making Canada our 51st state, I don't know. We're going to have to all learn ice hockey soon. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you three. Youssef, Manadal, Ayano, thank you so much for being
here
tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Really
appreciate
you very much. I'm going to make sure that the link tree is up on my blog and that the Melodies for Gaza email address is up there as well. So if anybody is interested in getting involved, if you are an educator that's tuned in tonight, ally to an educator, obviously ally to the Gaza struggle, and you'd like to get involved, I believe that email address, melodiesforgaza@gmail.com, is a really great place to go and send a message, and I'm confident you will hear back. Right on. Thanks for being here. You guys are tuned into Hell's Kitchen Radio Monday nights right here on Radio Valencia. Get back to some music right now. How about some Charles Mingus? Okay, that sounds good to me. Radio Valencia.
I'd like to continue this set with a composition dedicated to the first or second or third All-American heel, Phobos, and it's titled The Fables of Phobos. Oh, Lord, don't let us see us.